Aerial views over Caribbean island. Agatha Christie's A Caribbean Mystery. A light aircraft flies into the island. Aboard it is Miss Marple. Starring Helen Hayes, Barnard Hughes, Jameson Parker, Susan Hubley, Swoozy Kurtz, Cassie Yates, Zakes McKay. Stephen Macht, Beth Howland, Maurice Evans, Lynn Moody, George Innes. Special guest appearance by Brock Peters. 70-ish Spencer Miss Marple looks down at the island with its sun-drenched beaches. She smiles as the plane touches down on a runway and comes to a halt on the runway apron. Passengers disembark. Miss Marple smiles and takes in the air as she steps out of the plane. She walks away across the runway towards the terminal. Now she rides in the back of a taxi being driven along a coastal road. She beams happily as they pull up outside a white painted villa with palm trees lining its drive. The taxi lurches to a halt. Miss Marple gets out and gives the elderly cabbie a disapproving look before paying him. A couple in their 30s approach Miss Marple.
I'm Tim Kendall. Your bungalow is nearly ready.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome to the Caribbean. Oh, this is my wife, Molly.
Hello. How'd you do?
Welcome.
I understand you're from St. Mary Mead.
People play croquet.
You know it?
No.
Very few do.
Yes, I had a bad go of pneumonia last winter, and the doctor advised sunshine and rest. And my nephew, Raymond, the
Major,
was kind enough to make all the arrangements. He's really such a sweet boy.
The old major stares after her. Molly shows Miss Marple into her holiday bungalow. A porter brings in her luggage. She looks around the spacious accommodation.
Oh my, how lovely.
Thank you.
Oh, just a moment. There.
This is Victoria. Just let her know if you need anything.
Victoria.
How'd you do, Mom?
No, I'm sure I shan't need anything. Oh, this is very nice. Very nice indeed. What a beautiful hotel.
Thank you. I should let you freshen up. We have a tram to take you to the beach when you want to go.
Oh,
okay.
The beach.
I've left you an extra towel in case you want to swim.
Swim?
Quit bumping me.
A man in a wheelchair.
I didn't ask you to race me back to the bungalow, you idiot.
Now, Mr. Rayfield, your medication is overdue. If you'd left when I first mentioned
it... when I damn well choose. Had a lot of good medication, does that? I'd be careful. You nearly ran into that old fool there.
You'll have to excuse the old grouch. I'm afraid
Miss
this
Marple.
Illness has made him a bit snappish.
Oh, what a pity. Are you a relative of his?
Oh, thank heavens, no, no. I'm his nurse. Secretary... entertainment director, whatever he can think of. My name's Ruth Walters.
And I'm Jane Marple. So nice to meet you.
Ruth!
Miss Marple and Ruth shake hands, then Ruth goes. Down at the beach, people soak up the sun. Major Palgrave sits writing at a beach bar table. Miss Marple arrives at the beach in a golf cart. Miss Marple gets out of the golf cart. Smiling to herself, she goes and sits down at a table next to the Major. He looks up from what he's doing. Seeing her, he takes off his glasses, gathers up his writing folder and walking stick, and goes over to Miss Marple's table.
I introduce myself. I'm Major Geoffrey Palgrave. Molly tells me you're a misplaced Britisher like myself. May I join you?
Oh, certainly. I'd welcome the company. I notice your notebook. Are you a writer, perhaps?
Oh, not in any true sense of the word. I'm working on my memoirs. Just a little project to keep me amused. I've done a lot of travelling, picked up a lot of odd tales. No reason to let all that go by the board, is there? Do you do any writing yourself?
Oh, my, no. Oh, good heavens, I wouldn't know where to begin. This is my creative outlet.
Oh, that's not for you, is it?
No, no. I'm doing this for Eleanor Kincaid's new grandson, back in St. Mary Mead.
St. Mary Mead?
Yes, do you know it?
I can't say I do. No, I've been almost everywhere, but I've not spent much time in England. High adventure, that's always been my cup of tea. I'm told this is your first time here. Would you like to take a look around?
Oh, that would be lovely.
Oh, you can leave your belongings.
She puts away her knitting.
Disturb them. We don't have much thievery in these parts. Lots of scandal, though.
She eyes him curiously. They walk past a pond in some gardens.
This pond with rare tropical fish. Previous owners didn't go for that sort of thing, but I think the Kentals had the right idea. Spruce the place up. Give the old hotel a shot in the arm. Hmm?
Have they owned it long?
About 6 months or so. A lot of money tied up in it. Things will be sticky for a bit, I shouldn't wonder.
Tim spots them as they pass some tables.
I was looking for you. I was going to give you a guided tour. I see the Major has beaten me to it. Would you care for a lemonade? Compliments to the management?
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you.
Okay. Major?
Oh, well, not for me. Best I get back to work. Miles to go before I sleep and all that tommy rot. A dinner's at 6. Perhaps I may escort you to the dining room?
Oh, of course. Everyone's being so gracious and attentive, I don't know what to think.
Oh, it's a pleasure, I assure you.
All right, one lemonade coming up. I'll have you spoiled rotten before you get back on that plane. Watch your step. Here you go.
Tim takes her arm. He shows her to a table and she sits down. He goes and she looks over at some people at the next table. A woman wearing a bikini calls over to her.
I don't know why they call me lucky when every hand I get's a dog.
No, that's table talk. I think we ought to throw the hand in. What do you think, Evelyn?
Not throwing this in. Forget it. Best hand I've had all afternoon.
Are you serious? Well then, might as well play it out.
Pass.
Two spades.
Pass.
Four spades.
Miss Marple notices the bikini woman playing footsie with one of the men at the table.
Have you met these people?
Not formally, no.
All right, well, allow me.
I'd skip last names, Tim. She'll never get us straight. I'm Lucky. This is Edward, Evelyn, and Greg. It's nice to meet you.
And this is Jane Marple. Just arrived this afternoon.
I love that. As though we hadn't memorized every face in sight. It's a small place. You'll know us all much better than you like.
Really, my dear, your flippancy is beginning to get on my nerves. She doesn't mean to be pushy.
Yes, I do.
Miss Marple smiles politely. That night, Molly wakes with a start.
Molly, what is it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tim puts his arms around her.
I thought I was dead. I can't understand what's happening. I never dreamed like this. I've never had a nightmare in my life, and now night after night, Tim, I'm so scared.
No, come on, hush, hush. Let's be logical now. Everything we have is tied up in this place. And the pressures are immense. As soon as we're in the black, nightmares will go away. I promise.
She rests her head on his chest. He strokes her hair and stares into the distance. The next day, the Major joins Miss Marple for tea.
I missed you at
lunch.
Took a lunch tray to my room so that I could finish this chapter I'm working on.
You're writing from your own experiences, I assume.
Oh, indeed. But you know what they say, truth is stranger than fiction.
People are very odd, Major. Never quite what they seem.
Ah, my point exactly. Very well put. Now, here's a story that illustrates that to a T. Lots of fellas sitting at the club one day, and a fella told me a story I never forgot. Medical man, he was, the name Tate. One of his cases. Woman tried to hang herself, and this Dr. Tate got her just in the nick of time to revive her after the husband found her and cut her down. Anyway, she pulled through. Young husband was devoted to her, cried like a baby when she came round. The next thing this doctor hears, she's tried it again. And this time she succeeds.
No, wait. I know what you're going to say. Suicide victims are apt to repeat the attempt. Well, that's not the unusual aspect of this case. And Dr. Tate happened to be consulting with a colleague who told a very similar tale. Woman stuck her head in the oven. Her husband revived her, only to lose her in another suicide attempt sometime later. But now, here's the interesting part. When this colleague went round to see his patient, he spotted a rare hibiscus plant near the front door, got out his camera to take a snap. Just as he did, the woman's husband came out. The snapshot was a bit out of focus, but immediately Dr. Tate looked at it, he recognized the man in the picture as being the young husband of the hanging affair.
Oh dear, the same man with two different wives committing suicide. Seems a proper matter for police inquiry.
Ah, but it was never followed up as far as the doctor could tell. I expect the fella covered up his tracks too well. Queer story, though, wasn't it? Wouldn't think things like that could happen.
Oh, yes, I would. A murderer isn't always clever. I've heard that if a man finds a formula that works, he won't stop.
Might be worth a mention in the book if I can find a way to work it in. Oh, by the way, the doctor let me have the snapshot, just as a curiosity. All these odds and ends. I don't know why I keep all these tidbits. Oh, I've forgotten about that business. Good-looking woman, too, she was. You'd never suspect.
Dear, I must...
Miss Marple drops her ball of wool.
Like to see a picture of a murderer?
She retrieves it. The Major suddenly takes his glasses off and looks from the photo to someone nearby. Miss Marple follows his line of sight. Lucky, Edward, Evelyn and Greg sit playing cards at the next table. Behind them is Dr. Graham, a 50-ish black man wearing a white suit. Mr. Raphael is further back with Ruth and Arthur, and by the hotel building stand Tim and Molly.
Perfect day for a walk, don't you think? Just the thing.
The Major goes as Dr. Graham approaches.
I am Dr. Graham, the hotel physician.
Oh, how do you do? Major Palgrave was just telling me about his memoirs.
Is there something wrong?
I don't know. Let's hope not.
She looks troubled. Later, Miss Marple strolls through the local town. She goes over to a stall selling luggage and looks at the price tag on a piece.
Excuse me. Would you take a picture of that?
Miss Marple watches as a local woman takes a photo of Greg and Evelyn. Mr. Raphael and his man Arthur are nearby.
Not tablecloth. I can't throw that across my knees. I'd look like an imbecile. Bless you, Arthur. Can't you do anything right? Now, I've been patient with you, but I'm about to lose my temper.
That Arthur Jackson must be a saint to put up with Raphael.
Oh, I don't know. Mr. Raphael somehow reminds me of a wolfhound that used to bark at my gate. One day I fussed back at him, and he rolled over to have his underbelly scratched.
I can't say I put Rafel in that class myself, but you may be right. I wouldn't want to work for the man. Ruth is devoted to him, of course. But I can't quite see her tickling his tummy, can you?
Curious she isn't married, attractive as she is. Perhaps she has other plans for us.
She chats to Tim.
Oh, Major Palgrave, you've got to help me choose.
Excuse me.
The Major joins Molly by a stall selling cloth.
Let's go.
What'd you buy?
Nothing.
Edward! Oh, Edward, look what I bought. And it's your favorite color. Don't you think it's adorable? Love it.
Come on.
I do believe I've made you blush. What a grand...
Lucky had bought a purple thong.
I just think it's so clever of the Kendalls to have thought of it. I just love activities, don't you?
Only quiet ones, dear. Where'd that nice husband of yours disappear to?
This is that nice husband of mine. You remember Greg, don't you?
Oh, good heavens, of course. Yes. Oh, dear. Oh, I made a terrible mistake. How foolish of me. I somehow got it all turned around.
Don't worry about it, Miss Marple. Lucky gets it turned around herself.
What kind of a crack was that? Never mind him. He always insinuates the worst.
Oh, Lucky and Greg go.
I see you just got a little dose of the Dysons at their most eloquent.
I do hope it wasn't all my fault. I made a most unfortunate remark.
Believe me, the fault wasn't yours. I've known the Dysons for years, and problems go way back.
Thank you, I do appreciate that. You see, I thought she was married to you, and I'm afraid I said that right out. It was so tactless of me.
Married to me?
Yes. I'm so sorry. I see now that it was silly.
Edward frowns, then cracks a smile.
There's dancing tonight after dinner, I'm told, so get on your dancing shoes.
In her hotel bungalow, Miss Marple splashes some cologne onto a handkerchief and sniffs it. She smiles, then puts the handkerchief up her sleeve. She considers for a moment, then puts a dab of cologne behind each of her ears. Later, she and the Major dance together. He wears black tie and his medals. Lucky dances with Arthur. Neither seem to be enjoying it much. She glances over at Edward, who sits with Evelyn. Evelyn picks up a drink and sips it. Molly walks over to Greg, who sits alone.
No, I've been saving myself for you, Molly. You're looking beautiful tonight.
Thank you. Let's dance.
She takes Greg by the hand and leads him onto the dance floor. She wears a blue dress and a spangly green shawl. They dance past Lucky and Arthur.
Catch me later, I'll give you the woman's name. Their native name.
Tim walks over to Ruth, who sits alone.
I insist that you dance, and I'm afraid you're stuck with me.
He offers his hand and she takes it. They walk out onto the dance floor and start to dance. They dance past Lucky and Arthur, and then past Miss Marple and the Major.
The Kendalls never miss a trick.
The Major stares intently at Tim. The dance ends and the dancers applaud. The Major ushers Miss Marple back to her seat and finishes off his drink.
Yes, just one.
Sherry. A good idea with his
Ruth?
High blood pressure, is it?
The Major doesn't seem to drink very much.
Oh, but it's the alcohol with the medication that causes the problems. I have to be very strict with Mr. Rayfield.
Miss Marple frowns. The Major returns with the drinks and Ruth looks on disapprovingly.
Cheers.
Miss Marple smiles a little uncertainly. The Major sits down and sips his drink while Miss Marple sips hers. The next morning, Victoria the maid is doing...
I want that man, and he want me back. He want me back, and I want that man. He want me back. Want that man,
she uses her key to let herself into the Major's bungalow. She carries her cleaning things through to the bathroom.
I love that man. He loved me so much.
As she steps out of the bathroom, she notices someone is still in the bed. He doesn't stir. She goes over to the bed. He's motionless.
He's dead! He's dead!
She runs outside.
He's dead! The Major, he's dead!
Miss Marple watches as Molly and Victoria run back into the Major's bungalow. Molly regards the corpse and looks faint.
Miss Molly! Miss Molly, Mom! Mom! Somebody! Somebody!
Molly collapses. A glass of sherry and an open bottle of pills are beside the bed. Later, Molly sits with Miss Marple. Victoria and Dr. Graham come out of the Major's bungalow.
We need an ambulance, of course. Has someone sent for Tim?
Mr. Dyson's gone to look for him. It's Molly I'm worried about.
Well, let's have a look.
I'm fine, really, I am. It's just so unexpected.
Well, now, he was an older gentleman. He may have suffered a stroke, or perhaps his heart gave out. The medication he was taking indicates a rather severe problem with hypertension.
Dyson told me about the Major. Molly, you all right? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I don't know what happened. I just collapsed. Poor Major. I saw him, and the next thing I knew, I was on the floor.
Victoria discovered it. I was just coming out of my bungalow when I heard a shriek.
I guess it was his blood pressure. Darling, I want you to lie down. You've had a shock. Come on. Victoria, why don't you take the rest of the day off? You must be a little shaken yourself. Doctor, would you be kind enough to see Miss Marple back to her bungalow? Come on, darling.
Tim goes with Molly. Victoria hurries away. Dr. Graham sees Miss Marple to her bungalow.
Thank you, Dr. Graham. We all seem to have fallen apart. But he was such a dear man. I can't quite take it in myself.
What's the matter with your leg?
Oh, I must have given it a little wrench. Truly, I was so startled when Victoria cried out like that I forgot all about myself. It's nothing, really.
No. You let me be the judge of that.
What?
Come over here and sit down for a moment.
Thank you.
Now, let's see.
She sits on the sofa and Dr. Graham examines her leg.
You may have pulled a muscle here.
Well, it doesn't look swollen. Oh, dear. I feel so badly about the Major. I'd only known the man for 3 days, but he was so friendly. Everybody was so fond of him. I had no idea that he suffered from hypertension. Must have been a mild case, not worth mentioning.
He was taking Serenite. Hardly a proper prescription for a mild case. You know, a lot of other people knew about his blood pressure. Why, somebody mentioned it to me just yesterday.
Really? I hadn't an inkling myself. He never said a word. How very odd.
You just keep me informed about the knee.
Doctor. No. It's not the right time, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have mentioned it.
Is there some problem?
Well, I suppose... It's just the snapshot of my nephew I wanted back. I think the Major tucked it into his pocket.
A snapshot?
Yes. You see, my nephew died of pneumonia. Very sad. And I showed the Major the only snapshot I had of him. I'm sure he meant to give it back, but, well, he just tucked it into his pocket, you see.
Well, I'll have a look. I,
I have to be over there for the ambulance crew anyway. Now just elevate the leg.
Thank you.
The doctor sees himself out. The second he's gone, Miss Marple springs to her feet and watches out of the window as he goes back to the Major's bungalow and disappears inside. She frowns and looks concerned as Greg sidles up outside the Major's and peers in through the glass door. He turns around and hurries off. Greg goes back to his room and finds Lucky doing her hair in front of the mirror.
I suppose you heard about the Major.
Yeah, someone stopped by and told me.
Do you think he was murdered in his sleep, the way the tongues are wagging around here?
Murdered? What makes you say a thing like that?
It's just an expression. Don't be so touchy, for heaven's sakes. You know what I mean. I feel bad for the old boy, but it hardly comes as any startling surprise. He was old.
Well, he wasn't that old.
Evelyn said he was taking serenite. Does that ring a bell?
What's the matter with you? You know very well that I take serenite myself. I don't like your tone. What is it that you're really getting at, huh?
I didn't slip out last night, darling. You did.
Having just taken a pill, Greg looks unsettled. Lucky disappears into the bathroom. Arthur gives Mr. Raphael a massage.
Good for you. Prevents bed sores.
I know what it prevents. There are a few more bed sores to me anyway. Pretty soon I'll be out there with that poor old Major, what's his name?
Palgrave.
He had a premonition, that's pretty clear.
A premonition? Come on, what are you talking about? You don't believe in all that stuff.
I didn't say I believed in it, I said he believed in it. Don't you remember yesterday when we came up from the beach? Turned white as a sheet. I thought he'd seen a ghost.
You know, actually, that's true. I remember that look on his face. I just didn't attach anything to it.
Well, I didn't see anything.
And he was looking right at you.
Must have been looking at someone else.
Arthur looks shifty and continues with the massage. Miss Marple and others attend the Major's funeral.
Good friend so far away from home. Major Palgrave first came to this island 15 years ago and loved it so much that he returned faithfully every year. He chose this spot as his final resting place, enchanted as he always was with the beauty and peace of the island. As we read in Matthew chapter 10, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. And fear not them which will kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body." May he rest in God's grace. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
How's that knee?
The knee?
Dr. Graham?
Is much better. Nice of you to inquire.
We haven't found that snapshot of yours. I'm afraid that'll be a disappointment to you.
Yes, yes, it is. But I suppose it can't be helped. It wasn't in Major Palgrave's wallet?
No, nor anywhere among his things. There were a few group photos, but none of your young man.
Well, you did all you could. Perhaps someone found the photo and tore it up.
Why ever would someone do that?
I've no idea, I'm sure.
Miss Marple walks on deep in thought. At her bungalow, Miss Marple writes postcards as Victoria waters the plants.
It seems so quiet with the Major not among us.
Yes, I miss him, you see. He's been coming here since before I started to work. You know that man? He sure had a lot of stories to tell.
As I'm sure you must also, Victoria.
Oh, no, Mom. Not like him. He just seemed to have a natural bent for it. I don't have the same knack myself.
Yes, he had a good ear and a good eye for detail.
But you seem interested in people. That's really what it takes.
Well, if you say so, Mom.
And you see a side of people that no one else sees.
Now, we wouldn't go that far.
Will you observe their personal habits? All the little details of the things they leave in their rooms? For instance, I bet you could tell me what's on my bed table without even looking, just because you dust and tidy up.
But they're not hard at all. Okay, make me see now. You have some photographs, 5 of them. Sleeping mask. Those vitamins that you take. Alarm clock. Yes, I think that's it.
Very good. That's exactly right. You see, you have an excellent visual memory. You probably know more about people than you even realize.
Well, that's true.
Miss Marple puts on a pair of half-moon reading glasses. Victoria goes into the bedroom and wrangles with the vacuum cleaner. Mr. Raphael sits reading the newspaper outside. Ruth and Evelyn sit with him. Miss Marple comes and sits at a table nearby.
How are you, Miss Marple? We're all terribly sorry about the Major. Must be especially difficult for you. He seemed a close friend of yours.
Yes, he was. However, at my age, death doesn't seem so terrible. Sad, of course, but not such a specter.
Oh, poppycock. I hate talk like that. I hope you don't mean that just because you're elderly, you have a special relationship to death. That nonsense.
Elderly? I'd never think of myself as elderly. I feel just the same as I did when I was 17. Only then, of course, I pitied anyone over 20, and now I don't.
Well, you needn't be so smug about it. You can still walk. You can afford to be complacent. Look at me.
Oh, you enjoy yourself, and you know it. There's no one more smug than a man who feels entitled to lord it over other people.
How dare you talk to me like that? I'm a sick man.
Oh, Mr. Rager, oh,
hush,
let's not get
hush
excited.
Hush up. I'm having a lively chat with this woman here, which is more than I've ever had with you. She's got backbone. She doesn't sit around all day going cluck, cluck like someone I could name.
And she isn't as rude.
You see that? I like that. She knows how to make me laugh.
Too bad Major Palgrave didn't laugh more. Might have helped his hypertension.
Hypertension, my foot. He never had high blood pressure in his life.
Well, of course he did. I heard it myself from someone.
So did I. But, you know, I can't remember who mentioned it to me.
Well, I mentioned it to you once. Just the night before he died.
Oh, so you did. I'd completely forgotten it. But I wonder who told you.
Let me think. You know, I can't remember myself. Edward mentioned it one day around the pool, didn't he?
Oh, nonsense. Poppycock. I told the Major that he shouldn't drink with high blood pressure, and he nearly fell off his chair. Said he didn't have high blood pressure. It was low. Doctor always had to take it twice.
Oh, my. I wonder what to make of that.
Miss Marple spots Victoria hurrying by, apparently in an agitated state. Miss Marple looks concerned.
I want to mail these postcards.
She puts her things in her bag and hurries off. Victoria is with Tim and Molly in the hotel office.
Why would they be in the Major's room unless they belong to him?
All I know is I never see the Serenite in his room until after he dead. You know, we don't think that he took any pills like that at all.
Well, if there's something strange about the pills being in the Major's room, she should talk to Dr. Graham about it, don't you think?
I think perhaps we should pass the information along. It's our responsibility if there's something not right about this. Thank you, Victoria. You were absolutely correct in coming to us.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, Mom.
Miss Marple's been eavesdropping outside the office. Victoria comes out and wanders off. Miss Marple posts her postcards. Lucky strolls along a terrace and spots Molly doing some paperwork at a table. She goes over to her.
I think that color would be perfect for me.
Well, I'll call him and make an appointment for you.
Would you?
Yes,
thanks.
Okay.
Lucky goes up some steps and goes into the hotel, passing Miss Marple, who's on her way out. Miss Marple goes over to Dr. Graham, who's sitting at a table.
I'm afraid I've done a disgraceful thing. I told you a lie about the snapshot of my nephew. I made it up.
Well, why would you do that?
Because I knew that the Major had a snapshot of a murderer. He offered to show it me the day before he died.
A snapshot of a killer?
That's what he said it was. He told me the story, but I never actually saw the snapshot. And then, you see, the next day he died. I thought you should have...
The doctor nods and looks thoughtful. Possible.
In case.
In case what?
In case you decided to take steps about it.
Steps? What sort of steps?
Oh, I haven't an idea. A man in your position would know more about that than I. Perhaps an inquiry of some sort? I thought a doctor could do that.
It did seem to me that perhaps there should be an inquiry. I had thought about that. Then perhaps there might be a way to check with Major Palgrave's physician in England. As one doctor to another. That sort of thing. See if he ever prescribed serenite.
Wonderful. How clever of you to think of that. What will you think of next?
Perhaps someone should speak with the local police.
Oh, my, that would be a step. I can see that now. Excellent.
Well, I must be off.
I wish you luck. And Dr. Graham, it was most kind of you to talk with me about this. Really, it was.
Miss Marple smiles serenely as he goes.
Let's get things quite clear. What's the suggestion? That a bottle of poison pills was substituted for the serenite?
No, I think not. If someone wanted to get rid of the Major quickly, he would have been given something, most likely in a drink of some kind.
And the blood pressure medication put in his room afterwards?
Exactly.
But isn't serenite a prescription drug? How could someone put it in the Major's room? Wouldn't it be obvious that it wasn't his prescription?
It would be easy enough to remove the true patient's name from the prescription form on the bottle. All you would need is a razor blade. Then you simply start a rumor he is suffering from high blood pressure.
And who did all that?
Well, I don't know yet.
Wouldn't it have been simpler just to have poisoned him and let it go with that?
Oh, no, no, ma'am. That might have meant an inquiry. Possibly an autopsy. This way, a doctor would accept the death and sign the certificate, just as I did.
Dr. Graham, as much as I respect your instincts on this, you still have no proof. There is nothing to investigate. All what you have is rumor and speculation.
What if his physician at home never prescribed the serenite?
That would give us a place to start, of course, but I'm not sure what we could turn up. I mean, we're not even certain that a crime has been committed at this point.
At the hotel, Ruth and Miss Marple play croquet. Ruth knocks her ball through a hoop, then gets another go.
Michael.
Right. You must play a lot of croquet.
Miss Marple gets a hoop.
No, not that much. Though I love it, of course. I love it. Such fun, isn't it?
Well, to tell you the truth, it's the only way I know to get away from Mr. Raphael.
You've been with him for some time. You must love nursing.
Hardly. But it does have its fringe benefits, like this Caribbean vacation every year.
A number of you come here at the same time each year.
Oh, yes. The Hillingtons, the Dysons, Major Palgrave, of course. Greg's first wife was here originally, you know.
First wife? I didn't know he was divorced.
Oh, no. No, no. Gail died. She was Lucky's cousin. Lucky married Greg a month later. Your shot.
Oh. Oh, look. My ball went right through the wicket. Now, isn't that wonderful?
Well, you were standing right in front of it. I mean, how could you miss?
Miss Marple takes her extra shot.
What makes you say that?
Did I say that? Oh, that's stupid. I was thinking aloud. I mean, a woman with a husband wouldn't be able to make extended trips. That's what was going through my head.
I was married, actually.
She shifts uncomfortably.
Well, I'm a widow. Damn. Good evening.
Hi.
Hello.
At dinner.
Enjoy your dinner.
Thank you.
Miss Marple dines with Arthur, Ruth, and Evelyn.
Oh, Molly. Oh, yes. Now you mention it. I wonder what could be the trouble.
The Major's death, of course. They're afraid the tourist trade will drop off once the word gets out. You know how people are. Apparently, the police have been consulted.
Oh, my. Whatever for?
Well, that's what I heard, too. I had no idea that anything was suspected.
Well, Tim's the one I feel sorry for. This could ruin him. He's got everything tied up in this place.
Oh, goodness. I thought it was a joint venture, the two of them. But then, of course, I could get my facts mixed up.
Well, probably is her money, too. She's hardly being much help. Or maybe she's doing the best she can, given her past history.
She reminds me of Penny Livingston, my neighbor's daughter. She went all peaky, used to faint. They never did find out what it was.
I heard it was mental.
Penny Livingston?
Ruth taps her temple. Ruth nods in the direction of Molly. Arthur gets up from the table and goes out past Tim as he comes in. Tim comes over to the table.
Hi. Good evening. Guess what? After dinner, we have shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard? I've been forced to give it up. I have a trick knee. Such a pity.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, you'll make an excellent cheering section then, won't you? We'll see you over there. Bye-bye. Enjoy your dinner. Good evening.
Lucky comes in.
Wouldn't you know, she'd run out and buy a shawl just like Molly's.
I'd like to cut our holiday short.
Edward and Evelyn.
Edward, why would we do that?
She turns to him with a quizzical look. He looks away. She goes over to the bed and sits down beside him.
I know we have our problems. But I'm your best friend, and if you're in trouble, you must trust me.
This is nothing you can help me with, Evelyn. Thank you.
Listen to me. I know you had an affair with Lucky. You might as well admit that much. For all I know, it's still going on.
Well, it's not.
Then what hold does she have over you? Why do you let her get away with it?
Because I did something terribly wrong. She knows it.
I don't believe it. What did you do? Steal a car? Rape, murder, rob a bank? You've never done anything wrong in your life.
I forged a prescription. Lucky asked me to sign some doctor's name on a prescription blank. Said it was for diet pills or something. Seemed harmless enough. Besides, I was crazy about her then. I would have done anything for her.
I don't understand.
Neither did I at the time. But later. Later. I realized she'd used it to kill her. Greg's first wife.
Gail? Lucky poison, Gail Dyson. That's horrible. But you didn't help her deliberately. You said so yourself.
My handwriting's on the prescription blank. I bought the medicine.
And now she's holding it over you. A blackmail of sorts.
I swear if I don't get away from this place, I'll kill her.
Don't say that. We'll think of something, I'm sure. Who else knows about this?
I don't know at this point.
Well,
We'll just have to see, I guess. Maybe no one else knows but her. That'd be nice. Don't you think?
Hey, Ruth. Have you seen
Tim and Ruth?
She's wanted for the darts tournament.
Well, no, I haven't seen her, but she's usually out on the patio right about now.
Okay.
Overhearing, Miss Marple hurries away. Mr. Raphael spots her.
Mr. Raphael, you scared me half to death.
Tim's been looking for you.
I don't play darts.
You should learn. I signed you up for the tournament. Shuffleboard, too.
Why would you do such a hateful thing?
You're old. You should play shuffleboard. All old people should play shuffleboard.
That's the silliest thing I ever heard. I'll manage my own entertainment. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you can manage to get yourself killed, too. I've been watching you. Fluttering around, having those nice, harmless little chats of yours. Now, you've been sticking your nose into things.
I was only trying to remember the murder story the Major told me.
The one about the murderess? Lucretia Borgia type? Young? Beautiful?
Murderess? Who'd she murder?
Her husband, of course. Gave him a sleeping pill and shoved him off the balcony. Resourceful female, she said was suicide. She got off quite lightly when they caught up with her. Loony as she could be, of course. Diminished responsibility, they call it.
Did the Major show you a snapshot?
Of the murders? No. Now, don't stick your neck out. Go tat something. Have an attack of some kind.
I'll stick my neck anywhere I please. And don't sign me up for anything else, or I shall see that you are enrolled in the nude sunbathing class.
She gives a shocked Mr. Raphael a look and heads off. They're looking for something. A waiter carrying a bunch of flowers comes over to her.
Mrs. Kinder?
Yes, John, what is it?
Where do you want this?
What?
The flowers. Where do you want them?
Oh, why don't we put those on the center table right there? Can you do that for me? And I want the band set up promptly at 8 o'clock for the costume party. Would you please remind them?
John nods and goes. Molly looks at the table in front of her. She picks up a steak knife and looks at it, then carries it through into the kitchens. One of the staff drops a plate cover, making her jump.
Miguel, I thought I told you to keep your cap on in here. There are health regulations.
It's too hot in here. The cap makes my head feel like it's on fire.
But you have to wear one. The previous owners were cited twice for violations. Now, if Tim caught you, you'd be fired. Do you understand?
Sheepishly, Miguel nods and puts his hat back on. He sees Molly pocket the steak knife. Ruth is doing Miss Marple's hair in front of a full-length mirror.
Wonderful for the party tonight.
You really think so? I don't often have my hair done.
About time you did, then.
Ruth looks out of the window and sees what appears to be Molly walking by.
She's headed for a nervous breakdown.
Dear me. As a nurse, you would know the signs, of course.
Oh, yes. Her brother had a screw loose, too, from what I hear. Took off all his clothes on an airplane.
Oh, dear. Was it first class or tourist? Well, I never flew first class.
Ruth gives her a look.
What they do. People with money, you know, seem to get away with anything.
Oh, her people had money, of course. Or else how would she have gotten Tim? You know, Molly was going with some other man before she met Tim. Very unsavory character.
Oh, it so often happens.
Mm-hmm. Criminal background, from what I hear. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Molly refused to bring him home. So the family forbid her to see him again. Very old-fashioned.
But quite right, don't you think?
Fortunately, at that point, Molly met Tim, and the other man sort of faded out of the picture. Well, from what I hear, the family was so relieved, they settled the money on her as a sort of incentive.
Like a bribe, you mean?
Well, suppose you could call it that. There now. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a mess.
I don't usually wear my hair in a great ball like that. Do you think we could pat it down a bit?
That night at the party, a calypso band plays. the guests wear identical pirate costumes, which include a pirate hat complete with skull and crossbones. They also all wear identical salty sea dog masks, sporting a moustache and an eye patch. It's impossible to tell who's who. Some of the pirates shiver their timbers on the dance floor. A slightly built pirate hurries over to a short, dumpy pirate.
Have you any idea where Edward is? I think he went to get a drink a while back, but I'm not sure. It's so hard to recognize anyone. How did you know it was me? Your shoes.
Miss Marple looks down at her brown lace-up shoes. Outside, Victoria intercepts Greg.
Please. Yes, what is it?
Don't this belong to you, no?
Yes, of course.
Pills.
That's my bottle of Serenite. Where did you find it?
Where it have been put. In the gentleman's room.
What gentleman's room is that?
The gentleman that is dead. Me no think that he sleeps so good in his grave, you know?
I don't understand what you're getting at.
But you will, Mr. Dyson, sir.
She smiles broadly and hands an awkward-looking Greg the pills before running off. Greg, who wears a pirate costume, heads off. Molly, also in pirate costume, watches him go. Edward, not yet wearing his mask, goes into the party. He stares after a masked pirate coming out. Evelyn strolls by the pond in the gardens. Hearing someone crying, she looks around and spots Molly sitting sobbing on a log. She goes over to her.
Molly, what's wrong?
There's nothing wrong.
Well, of course there is. You wouldn't sit out here and cry for nothing.
Sometimes, maybe it's 5 in the afternoon, and I can't remember anything since 2. And I find myself in a different place. Sometimes I'm even wearing different clothes and I don't remember anything.
You must see a doctor.
No. No, don't say that. I'm fine, really. It's just a stress. You're all right.
Molly gets up and hurries away into the night. Evelyn stands up and stares after her. Victoria strolls along, smiling to herself. Hearing a noise behind her, she looks over her shoulder. Seeing no one, she walks on, still smiling. Victoria stops again and looks back, this time looking fretful. As she stares up the path, a masked pirate steps up behind her and stabs her in the back. Victoria collapses, and the pirate hurries away. Evelyn walks into the hotel reception area.
I really think we should find out where Molly's gone. She seemed terribly upset. Almost hysterical. Has she seen Dr. Graham about all of this?
I've given up insisting on that. She's... I don't know, she's unreasonable when it comes to doctors. It's irrational. It has something to do with her past. She won't say what.
Mental problems of
Tim clears away glasses.
There's nothing wrong with Molly that a few days' rest won't cure.
Tim!
She comes in.
Are you alright?
It's Victoria on the path. I think she's dead. She's dead.
Her hands are bloodstained.
The medical examiner is on his way. He'll bring the ambulance crew with him. Did Dr. Graham ever get word back from Major Paul Gray's physician?
Oh, yes, it was just as he suspected. The Major never had any high blood pressure in his life. I wish now I had more to go on at the time. We might have prevented this.
Please, come in.
Greg opens up to the police.
My wife's in the bedroom. I'm assuming...
The captain removes his hat.
Yes, it's the custom, if you don't mind.
Oh, not a bit. Anxious to be of help, please. Sit down.
Thank you.
It's too bad.
They both take a seat.
She was nice. We both liked her. I might as well come straight to the point. She approached me tonight, not 2 hours before she died. She returned this bottle of serenite someone had apparently taken from my room.
When did you notice the pills were missing?
Oh, about a week or so ago. I have half a dozen bottles in the suitcase, but I only keep out the one that's in current use.
And you asked Victoria whether she knew anything of the missing supply?
Yes, I did. She said the last time she'd seen it was on the shelf in our bathroom. She said she'd look around.
And after that?
I told you, she came and returned the bottle to me tonight on the path. She told me then she found it in the major's room. I have no idea how it got there, but...
But you think she knew?
Exactly.
Mr. Dyson, why didn't you mention the missing serenite at the time of the major's death? Didn't it strike you as odd?
Why should it? A lot of people take serenite for high blood pressure. It's no more unusual than aspirin for headaches. Besides, as far as I've ever heard, the major's death was supposed to be from natural causes. If it had been labeled murder, of course I would have spoken up.
A police sergeant whispers something to the captain.
What seems to be the problem?
Miguel's outside.
She came through the kitchen, Mrs. Kendall did. And she had a knife with her.
Mrs. Kendall had a knife?
I saw it myself. She put it in her pocket and she went out the door. A steak knife.
How very strange.
She gets very angry with the help. All the time she loses her temper with us.
Why don't you take him down to headquarters and see if he can identify the murder weapon?
It must have been connected to the major's death.
Greg and Lucky.
Maybe she knew something worth a little blackmail.
I did see you on the path with her. Not that I'm suggesting you had anything to do with it.
You love to torment me, don't you, Lucky?
I wouldn't try and hide anything if I were you. It always looks so bad for you later if you get caught.
Well, I can account for my time, Lucky. I hope you can account for yours.
He gives her a pointed look and a peck on the cheek. The next morning, the captain's with Molly.
But I have to ask you a few questions.
It's really quite all right.
I understand you went for a walk toward the end of the evening. Did you take a knife on your walk?
A knife? Why would I take a knife?
Someone apparently had seen you tuck a knife in your pocket at one point earlier in the evening. I was wondering if it was still in your possession late that night.
I don't remember. Unless it was before dinner, I believe I picked up a piece of cutlery then. There was an extra knife at one of the places on the table.
And you don't remember if you still had it with you?
Well, I can't think why I would, but I really can't say. I might have.
And did you like this girl? Victoria. Was she good at her work?
Yes, she was nice enough and efficient.
She had never threatened you?
Captain... I didn't kill the girl, if that's what you're getting at. I wouldn't hurt anyone.
But you did have blood on your hands when you came in. Your fingerprints were on the knife that killed her.
But I didn't do anything, I swear it. Somebody's trying to make me look as if I'm guilty when I'm not.
Or so it would seem. Thank you.
Molly wears her green shawl.
I'm certain we'll be talking to you again. Good day, Mrs. Kendall.
The captain tips his cane to Molly and goes. She sits back in her chair, looking anxious. The captain finds Miss Marple sitting at a table on the sun terrace.
Perhaps. I should have done that a week ago. Dr. Graham tells me that you suspected something when the major died. To be truthful, I didn't believe it at the time. I... owe you an apology.
Well, that's quite unnecessary, I assure you.
We did an autopsy on the major. The actual cause of death was a lethal dose of difluoroethyl carbenzole. From what I gather, the symptoms produced would be much the same as those of hypertension aggravated by an overindulgence in alcohol. I should be very careful what you drink.
The captain grins and gets up from the table. Miss Marple looks grave and frowns. She puts her knitting down and gets up. She hurries off wearing a determined expression. She approaches Mr. Raphael's room.
No need to scream. I'll go see if I can find him.
I'll scream if I want to. If I didn't scream, no one would lift their finger to help me.
Ruth passes Miss Marple as she comes in.
Drop back when you're feeling more sociable.
I feel perfectly sociable. Anyway, Ruth shouldn't mind a little abuse. I'm rewarding her very handsomely in my will.
Oh, how lovely. Then perhaps you'll stop yelling so that we can have a little chat.
Give me a push here. I'm looking for my briefcase. I don't seem to be able to find it anywhere. Maybe it's out here on the patio. Ah, there it is. Yes, would you hand that to me, please? Thank you.
Miss Marple fetches it.
I've decided to trust you. We have to put our heads together and get to the bottom of this. The Major was bumped off, as they say. Captain Daventry told me so himself.
I knew it, I knew it. Then all that talk about high blood pressure was just poppycock.
Yes. Oh, somebody was very clever putting that story about. It only needed a murmur here and there.
Do you know, Victoria must have known who it was.
Oh, but all this is so obvious, Mr. Raphael. We have to look to the original event. The story of the murder that the Major intended to put in his book.
You know, I made a mistake about you. I don't very often make a mistake about people, but you had me fooled. All that knitting and dithering. I can't stand fussy ladies who knit.
Do you mean to pay attention, or do you not? Really? Now, what interests me is the motive for the Major's death. Here's a man telling a story that someone told him, showing a snapshot with no date or location noted on it anywhere. Now, that hardly constitutes proof of any sort. And the tale itself was hearsay. Why on earth would that worry a murderer?
I hadn't thought about that, but you're right, of course. And even if the man was a dead ringer for the killer, so what? No one was going to take Paul Graves' identification seriously. The man could just laugh it off. So why on earth would he proceed to murder old Paul Graves? Absolutely unnecessary.
Well, that's what I thought, too. Until just a moment ago.
Miss Marple looks awkward and stands up.
Will you stop that silly business with me? You know perfectly well what you're talking about.
There could be a very powerful motive if...
If what?
If there were going to be another murder quite soon.
You mean one that had been planned all along?
Yes, indeed. I suspect that the Major and Victoria were killed just to clear the way for someone else's death.
But whose?
Oh, dear. That's just it. At this point, I haven't the faintest idea.
I don't know. You do understand that you're to keep in touch. I know the police are permitting some of you to leave, but only if you can be reached for further questioning.
Yes, of course. Captain Daventry made that perfectly clear. Too bad we have to cut our stay short.
Oh, I'm sorry for the inconvenience.
It's nothing personal, you understand. Delightful hotel and all that.
Perhaps next year.
Yes, if we decide to come back to the Caribbean, we'll be in touch. We'll see when the time comes.
Could you excuse me just a moment, please?
Tim walks into the hotel office where Molly is working. He looks tense.
It's too much is what it is. 16 people have checked out this morning. At this rate, the hotel will be empty by the end of the week.
It's my fault. It's all my fault.
No, it's not. You didn't do anything. It's just... I don't understand what's happening. I mean, who is doing this to us? It's like some grotesque form of sabotage.
I am crazy. I know it. I don't even know where I was that night. I don't remember how I got on the path.
Stop it. Now, you stop it. You listen to me. I know you didn't do anything.
But who did? Who hates us this much?
I don't know.
Tim sighs.
I don't know.
She looks tearfully at him and he hugs her to him. Arthur wheels Mr. Raphael into the dining room.
Don't push me over there. I want to sit with her. I don't want to eat by myself.
Ruth and I are having lunch. We'll join you.
Arthur pushes Mr. Raphael over to Miss Marple's table.
Now, do as I say, for heaven's sake.
Suit yourself.
I had to be especially rude, just so we could talk.
Did you say specially? How much do you know about him?
He looks chastened.
Not very much, now that you mention it. He was a pharmacist. Lost his license in some scandal or other. Nothing very serious, but enough to make him tuck his tail in and disappear.
Seems the ideal job for someone in hiding.
Mr. Raphael? Marple?
Greg?
Oh, I've got to stop grinning like this. I feel like a Cheshire cat. I can't stand that fellow.
That doesn't make him a murderer, you know. You don't like half the people here.
I don't like any of the people here. Except you, of course. That fellow's got 2 points against him. First, he had that high blood pressure stuff, the serenite. Nice and handy, ready to use.
Well, that'd be rather obvious, don't you think?
So's a steak knife in the bag. Let's not credit this fellow with subtlety.
What's the second point?
He married a poor woman. His first wife is rich. He's been living off her money ever since she died.
And under peculiar circumstances, so I hear.
That's just my point. Suppose he wants to get rid of this wife so he can marry the next.
Then Lucky would be the intended victim.
Mind if I sit here?
Those are taken.
Oh,
Edward looks disappointed.
Greg.
Why'd you do that?
I will not have lunch with a suspect.
But how can one get information if one doesn't talk to people now and then? And besides, I'm sure we shouldn't make assumptions about killers. We don't really know what drives people to murder, do we? So anyone could be guilty, you see.
Like Hillingdon over there?
Perhaps.
You know, I rather fancy Hillingdon myself. You know, I have an idea there's something very odd going on between him and Lucky, don't you think?
I quite agree. And yet I can't help feeling that it isn't as simple as all that. I wonder if Evelyn isn't actually the one to keep an eye on in this case.
Mr. Raphael nods thoughtfully. Later, the guests sit around the pool. Wearing a blue dress, Miss Marple walks past Ruth as she lies on a sun lounger. Miss Marple sits on the next sun lounger.
Supposed to meet here for a drink.
There she is.
Oh, that's Lucky.
Coming out of the pool.
The blonde hair fooled me. Just the color of Molly's.
Lucky's isn't natural, you know.
It's a wig?
No, it's dyed. The minute she saw Molly's shade, she went straight out and matched it. Just like that shawl. Lucky's very competitive with other women. Have you noticed that?
No, I hadn't. But it's interesting that you should mention it.
Hi. Oh, what a nice group. You should start an activity. How about charades, Miss Marple?
Oh, what a wonderful idea. But I've been forbidden to play. It makes my heart palpitate. I could have a fatal attack. I'm not even allowed to watch.
I'm sorry. Well, how about the rest of you? Evelyn? Greg?
I'm afraid none of us are much in the mood, Sam.
All right. Well, perhaps some other time, then.
So sad.
Tim goes.
He did so want to make a go of it.
Ruth pushes Mr. Raphael in his wheelchair. Miss Marple looks out of her window and sees Arthur run up the steps and disappear into Mr. Raphael's room. Narrowing her eyes suspiciously, Miss Marple hurries out of her bungalow and goes to investigate.
Thank you.
She walks over to Mr. Raphael's apartment and scuttles past the window. She peers in and sees Arthur opening Mr. Raphael's briefcase. She watches as Arthur takes out some paperwork and leafs through it. She inadvertently knocks over a pot plant. She quickly presses herself up against the wall. Arthur walks over to the window and looks out. Miss Marple closes her eyes and stays pressed against the wall. Arthur looks around but fails to see her. He goes back over to the briefcase. Miss Marple looks relieved. That night, Tim walks through the hotel grounds wearing a white double-breasted suit. He goes into bungalow 320. He looks around inside. He walks through the bungalow. As he looks through to the bedroom, he notices the bathroom door is ajar. Looking troubled, he steps towards it.
Molly?
In her bungalow, Miss Marple is setting her alarm clock.
Help! Help me, please! Somebody! Molly's killed herself! Help me, please! Somebody!
Miss Marple looks out of her window and sees Greg, Edward and Ruth hurrying to the scene.
He's on the floor in the bathroom. Greg, get the doctor, please.
Let me through. I'm a nurse. Here. Easy now. Easy.
Miss Marple arrives. Tim and Ruth carry Molly out of the bathroom. Ruth checks for a pulse.
Get her onto her feet. Let's see what she took.
Tim and Edward pull her upright as Dr. Graham rushes in.
Wait on the porch.
No, I'm staying with her.
Out!
No, I won't.
Take him out.
Miss Marple and Edward hustle Tim out of the bungalow. Dr. Graham checks Molly's pupils. Ruth slaps Molly's face as Dr. Graham opens his bag. He hands Ruth an antiseptic swab, which she rubs on Molly's arm. The doctor fills a hypodermic syringe with medicine. Miss Marple, Tim, Edward, Evelyn, Lucky and Greg all wait on the porch outside.
This isn't like her. She isn't like this at all. I can't believe she did this. She couldn't have.
The doctor says you can come in now.
Ruth comes out.
All right, everyone.
Tim hurries inside.
Go back to your bungalows. She's fine.
Relieved, everyone heads off.
Miss Marple.
Ruth takes Miss Marple's arm.
Oh, hasn't it been frightful? And how quick you were. Molly owes you her life.
Her life wasn't in any jeopardy. I think our Miss Molly was faking the whole thing.
Oh, but she was in coma. Her face was white as a sheet. I saw it myself.
I took her pulse. She's strong as a horse. I'm not sure she was even unconscious. She was acting.
But she did take an overdose.
Oh, yes, she took the pills. There's no doubt about that. But I've seen this kind of thing before. She had it timed right down to the minute, figuring he'd be back.
But why should she do a thing like that? What possible reason would she have to fake?
Maybe she was setting up a plea of temporary insanity.
Insanity?
In case she's accused of murder. Everyone gets off on that defense nowadays.
She's sleeping now. I think perhaps you should take Tim up to the bar for a drink. He's a bundle of nerves.
I could sit with Molly if you'd like. Someone should keep an eye on her, don't you think?
No, I'm all right, really. I'll stay.
You better buy me a drink. I need it worse than you do.
You go on. Doctor's orders.
Come on.
Dr. Graham?
Ruth leads Tim away.
This may seem an odd question, but Ruth suggested that perhaps this wasn't quite the emergency it seemed.
I'd hesitate to call it anything at all. She apparently took the pills, you see, but not enough to do any harm.
Perhaps she didn't know that.
Perhaps. But it is puzzling.
The doctor heads off, leaving Miss Marple thoughtful. She goes on into the apartment. Molly lies on the bed sleeping. Miss Marple sits at the bedside reading a magazine. She looks up as she hears a noise. She looks around suspiciously, then puts the magazine down on the bed and gets up. She walks over to the window and opens it. She looks out into the night. There is no sign of anyone. Looking a little puzzled, Miss Marple closes the window again. She glances back at Molly sleeping on the bed, then tiptoes out of the bungalow. She carefully closes the fly screen door behind her.
Can't sit there without my knitting. Only be a moment, there's no harm done.
She trots away down the path. As soon as she's turned the corner, she stops and looks back. She sees Arthur emerge from the shadows and go on into the bungalow. With a determined expression, Miss Marple hurries back up the path. She goes into the bungalow. Inside, she finds Arthur looking through Molly's stuff.
I saw you were leaving. I thought someone should be here.
Ridiculous. You're searching through Molly's cosmetics.
He makes to leave with jars of something. She grabs him.
I'm convinced she's being drugged. I thought maybe it was something.
He beckons her aside.
Face cream, lotion, something like that. You see, preparations like belladonna and atropine can produce very bizarre effects.
Why didn't you go to Dr. Graham with this, or the police?
Look, please believe me, I know it looks bad. But I'm only trying to protect Molly.
From whom? Who would even think to drug the poor woman, torment her like that?
Why do you? I mean, the bungalow's left open all day. Anybody could sneak in.
Yes, indeed.
Miss Marple grabs the jars off him and makes to go, then turns back. Story of a murderer.
Oh, well, there was one. I can't remember the details, but I think it was about a modern-day Lucretia Borgia.
Lucretia Borgia? Was that the phrase he used?
Yes. The one who poisoned people.
Oh, Dr. Graham, I'm so glad you're back. She's asleep. I have something I must do.
Arthur goes.
Well, run along, then. I'll tend to Molly.
Miss Marple hurries off. Mr. Raphael sits in his room looking through paperwork. Miss Marple comes and knocks on the door.
Wonderful. Come on in, come on in. I couldn't sleep. What's all this about Molly? Ruth ran off somewhere and nobody will tell me anything.
I've had an idea. Now, I don't know that there's anything to this, but something's occurred to me.
About Molly?
Oh, stop fretting about Molly. She's quite safe for the time being. I'm thinking about this killer.
Well, who do you think he is?
I think he might possibly be a she. Well, the Major told more than one murder tale, didn't he? I must confess, I wasn't paying strict attention that day. I was interested, of course, because the Major did know how to spin a yarn, didn't he? If you'll pardon the pun. But that's exactly what gave me the idea. You see, that day I dropped me on and off it rolled. I remember distinctly that he said something else as he was looking for the snapshot. He said, I'd forgotten all about that business. Good-looking woman she was, you'd never suspect. And then he found the photo and started to show it to me.
Like to see a picture of a murderer?
I don't know if he changed the subject while I was chasing me on. But he might well have been talking about her. That good-looking woman that he later told you about.
Oh, the Lucretia Borgia?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. It doesn't seem right to me. No, I think your first instincts were right, Miss Marple. I think you should trust your first hunch.
Oh, perhaps you're right. Perhaps you're right. Oh, this is baffling. It's most baffling. I think we'd better go and find Captain Daventry. I'm terribly worried. We must prevent another murder.
She goes to the door. Mr. Raphael out. A woman wearing a green shawl stands by the pond in the garden. Someone lurks in the undergrowth watching the woman. The stalker creeps out from cover and comes up behind the woman. The stalker whacks the woman over the back of the head and she falls face first into the pond. Miss Marple and Mr. Raphael join Tim and the other guests in the hotel lobby.
Miss Marple, have you seen Molly? Dr. Graham turned his back for a moment. She disappeared.
No, we just came down the...
When she disappeared.
No, we just came down the path. We didn't lay eyes on her.
Look, please, I've got to find her. Will you help me?
Hold on. She can't be far.
How long has she been gone?
Will you stop chattering and go on?
Calm down, Tim.
Okay.
Go on. Go on with you. For heaven's sake, don't worry about me.
Miss Marple and the others scuttle off in the direction of the screams. Evelyn stands by the pond, a horrified expression on her face as she looks at the dead woman lying face down in the water. Ruth and Greg arrive. Tim runs up beside the pond and sees the body in the water.
Oh, poor thing.
Miss Marple totters up as Tim wades into the water.
It isn't Molly, you know. It's Lucky.
What?
Greg steps forward. Tim lifts the corpse's head. It's Lucky.
I thought this was Molly, didn't you? Lucky! No! Lucky!
Greg, come on. Mr. Kendall, perhaps you should call Captain Daventry.
Yes. Yes, of course.
He wades back out of the pond and looks back at the body.
Are you sure you'll be all right?
Oh, yes, I'm sure I shall be quite safe.
Soggy-trousered Tim squelches off into the night, leaving her beside the pond.
Yes, Edward.
Edward emerges from behind a red brick pillar nearby.
I knew I was there.
You cast a shadow, you know, even in moonlight. And also I was wondering why I didn't see you with the others when they were searching for Molly.
Miss Marple, I had nothing to do with this. Please believe me.
Miss Marple nods and looks at the body. Something occurs to her, and Edward steps towards her.
Just now understand what's happening. Please guard the body until the police...
He gives her a quizzical look.
Excuse me, please.
She hurries off and he stares after her. She finds Mr. Raphael in the hotel reception.
What was happening here? It was so simple.
What was it?
Oh, you'll have to trust me. I need your help. Lucky's been murdered, and Molly is missing again.
Molly? What's Molly got to do with it?
Everything.
They hurry off. An emotional and disorientated-looking Molly makes her way through the dark hotel grounds. She runs up to her bungalow and lets herself in. She runs into the living room and breaks down. Tim walks into the bungalow and finds her.
God. Where have you been? I've been looking everywhere for you.
I went to the pond.
The fish pond?
Yes. There was someone in the water and she was dead. I got scared and I ran.
It was lucky. Someone killed her, Molly.
Molly looks appalled.
Really, too? I didn't kill her. Oh, I'm sure I didn't do it. I would remember that if I had done it, wouldn't I?
Are you sure?
Tim steps up to her and puts his hands on her shoulders.
Positive.
She looks dubious.
I don't know what's happening to me.
No, not that way. No, turn me around.
As Miss Marple struggles to get Mr. Raphael through a door, Arthur appears.
Just a moment. Help me get this up.
They all go into Molly and Tim's bungalow. Tim plies Molly with brandy.
I can't, my teeth are chattering.
Darling, you must. Go on. It'll help you.
Hey! What are you doing?
Hold that glass tightly, Mr. Raphael. Don't let it out of your sight.
What is going on here?
Evelyn said she saw Molly heading this way. Here she is. You were right, you know. I should have trusted my first instincts. I dare say when the contents of that glass are analyzed, you'll find it contains a lethal dose of narcotic. It's been the same pattern in every case, and just as the Major recited it. He told me a story about a pair of clever murders and started to show me a picture of the killer. Then something startled him. I realized he was staring at someone, but I couldn't tell who it was. One of you in this room had to be the murderer. You overheard the Major's story and realized he had recognized you. You knew there was no time to lose. The Major had to go. The Major was given a snapshot of a murderer, and that murderer was you.
This is ridiculous.
Later, he had to kill Victoria, too, because she remembered catching sight of him in the Dysons' bungalow with the Serenite. Once she realized what he was up to, he had to take care of her, too. Because his real aim was to kill Molly.
So that's what's been going on.
No, it's not true. Not a word of it is true. Tim, darling, you could never kill anyone. It's that horrible girl you married. It's Molly. She did it. I believe in you. I love
you
and trust you. You
could shut up! You stupid woman. Do you want to get me executed?
Tim shoves Ruth away. He makes to flee, but Miss Marple trips him with a chair. Arthur and Dr. Graham grab him.
I dare say.
Come on, let me through, let me through, let me through.
Captain Daventry marches in and looks around the room. The next day, Miss Marple chats to the other guests.
You were the one who told Tim that Mr. Raphael intended to leave Ruth Walters a tidy fortune on his death.
What stupid of me.
I think we'll find that Tim Kendall himself was the undesirable suitor in Molly's past. She as much as admitted that the two pretended that her disreputable lover had left the scene. Her parents had never seen him anyway, and so it was easy enough for Tim to come back round and present himself as the new and suitable son-in-law. On whom they settled so much money.
Then when Molly's money began to run out, he had to find someone else with money, and Ruth was it?
Yes. I'm afraid if he had succeeded in that plan, he'd have found a way to remove you from this earth, too. He had just about persuaded Molly that she was insane. And, of course, he had been slowly poisoning her for weeks.
But why did he kill Lucky?
Oh, that was a case of mistaken identity. He had sent Molly out to wait for him at the tropical fish pond, but she had a blackout and wandered off. He meant to drown her, of course, and pass it off as a successful suicide attempt. It was Lucky's misfortune to find herself there instead.
Well, at least we can all rest easy now that the murderer's been caught.
Thank heaven for that.
Everyone raises their glass. Miss Marple raises a cup of tea.
Have a Cedric. Oh, and Molly.
You must come back next year. Compliments at the hotel for as long as you like.
Oh, thank you, dear. That's most kind of you. But you know, I think I'd be more rested if I just stay in St. Mary Mead. We don't have darts and shuffleboard.
Confound it. Why must she be so slow? Miss Marple can't stand there all day. She's got a plane to catch.
Well, you seem to be in fine fettle this morning, Mr. Raphael.
Here, I got you these, and they weren't cheap. No sentiment. I won't tolerate any poppycock.
Well, I should hope not.
Miss Marple takes the proffered bouquet and goes to the departure gate. Mr. Raphael stares sadly after her. She stops at the gate, looks back, smiles at him, then winks. He raises his Panama hat and winks back. Suddenly conscious everyone is looking at him, he resumes his grumpy demeanour. ITFC audio description by John Walskill and Tim Cashmore.